Just in terms of scheduling, this coming Wednesday there will be a special share on Tisha B'Av by Rabbi Sacks, and then the following Wednesday will be the last share of the series. So the Chavah Gadol Rav Sacks.
We were discussing various aspects of Kedushas HaMikdash, and I had mentioned in our focus the Rambam and Ravid Perek Vav of Hilchos Beis HaBechira. The Rambam contrasts the Kedusha of Eretz Yisrael with that of the Kedushas HaMikdash. One perhaps would have thought that both Kedushas should apply from the very same source, from the very same time, and the Rambam writes that is not the case. When it comes to the Kedusha of the Mikdash, the Rambam writes that is a function of the first Beis HaMikdash. When it comes to Kedushas HaAretz, the Rambam writes that is from the time of Vayisheni. Kedushas Eretz Yisrael, from the time that we initially entered Eretz Yisrael, that the Rambam writes was only invested in Eretz Yisrael for a limited amount of time. That is Kidsha Lashata, but below Kidsha Lasubavo. After all, we conquered Eretz Yisrael. When it was taken from us, the Kedusha now was uprooted. However, the Kedusha in the time of Ezra, the Rambam writes that was a function of a granted right, and therefore the Rambam writes that that Kedusha is applicable even today as well. Kedusha Samigdash, that's from the very first time of the Beis Samigdash. And why should one distinguish, the Rambam asks, when it comes to the Kedusha Sa'aretz, that is from Bayisheni. When it comes to Kedusha Samigdash, that is from Bayis Rishon. The Rambam writes, Kedusha Samigdash, that is a function of the Shechina. And the Rambam writes, Vahashchina Eina Betela. That is never null and void, that can never be uprooted, and therefore, from the very onset, we have an everlasting Kedushas HaAretz. It's fascinating that in between, for example, the first and second Beis HaMikdash, according to the Rambam, you had a full Kedushas HaMikdash, even though you didn't have a full Kedushas HaAretz. Sometimes we think of it as a hierarchy, that you begin with Kedushas HaAretz and you climax, you can peak with a Kedushas HaMikdash. The Rambam writes that indeed the two Kedushas are independent, and the Rambam writes that in between Bayis Rishon, Bayis Sheni, we lacked in Kedushas HaAretz. However, Kedushas HaMikdash was present. Today the Rambam writes, we're fortunate to have both Kedushas, a Kedushas HaAretz, a Kedushas HaMikdash. The Rambam does comment that despite that fact, we don't fully have Mitzvos HaTliyos HaAretz, because after all, Yovel, Shemitah, Trumas, and Maestros, that requires the response of Knesset Yisrael, that requires Kol Yosheva Aleha, an abundance of Knesset Yisrael living in Eretz Yisrael. The Rambam writes, in his time that was not the case, in Bayisheni that was not the case. Today there are insufficient numbers, and therefore the Rambam writes that the Kedushas HaAretz is min HaTorah, but the Mitzvos HaTliyos HaAretz bizman hazeh are only Drabanan. The fact that there is a Kedushas HaMikdash, the Rambam tells us that means that one who is Tameh is not allowed to enter the Makam HaMikdash even today, and if one does so, there is an Isser Kares. And that the Ravid disagrees. The Ravid writes in Perek Vav Hilchos Beis HaChira that is not the case at all. We don't have a full Kedushas HaMikdash Bizman Hazeh. And the Ravid writes, if anything, perhaps the opposite is true. Whereas the Rambam envisioned a Kedushas Mikdash without a Kedushas HaAretz, the Ravid writes quite the opposite. That no, one could argue when it comes to Kedushas HaAretz that that is enduring, but Kedushas HaMikdash, that is something that is not fully enforced, Bizman Hazeh. Why exactly is that true? The Ravid writes a fascinating comment based on the Gemara in Yuma on Daf Tes. When Ezra built the second Beis HaMikdash, the Ravid writes, Ezra already knew that that Beis HaMikdash could not last, because that Beis HaMikdash was dependent on the response of Knesset Yisrael. And in the time of Bayisheni, the Ravid explains, who was it that left Bavel and traveled with Ezra to Eretz Yisrael to build the Beis HaMikdash? The Psukim tell us, Vabina Ba'am, that the response of Bnei Yisrael was quite limited. All those who were unsuccessful in Eretz Yisrael had nothing to lose, and Bavel had nothing to lose, and they went to Eretz Yisrael. They had to turn back in order to find Levim, in order to participate in the Avodas HaMikdash. But the Ravid writes that Ezra already knew that how could that Kedusha be one which was enduring? After all, the Gemara explains in Yuman Daf Tes that in Yala Kechoma, if you'll enter Eretz Yisrael in force, then the Beis HaMikdash that you build will be a Tiras Kesef, it will be a silver ballast. And if not, it will be a Luach Ariz, it will be a wooden hut. And the Gemara explains it has a twofold implication. Number one is even when the Mikdash existed, it paled compared to the first Beis HaMikdash. There were many elements that were lacking in Bayis Sheni that were present in Bayis Rishon. And furthermore, it could not be something that endures because of the lack of response of Knesset Yisrael. So therefore, the Ravid writes, when Ezra was Mikadesh the Mikdash, it was only a temporary Kedusha. And the Ravid writes, therefore, you don't have a full Kedusha Samikdash, this man hazeh. Perhaps you would have expected the Ravid would therefore write, and so one who is Tamei is allowed to enter the Makam HaMikdash. The Ravid somehow stops short. The Ravid writes, I disagree with the Rambam, and I maintain, HaNichnas Atef, one who is Tamei will enter today, Ein Bo Kares. That's the language of the Ravid. There is no Isser Kares. You know, Ein Bo Kares is an unusual way of saying something is Mutter. It doesn't sound from the Ravid Shita that one is allowed to do so. The Ravid just simply disagrees with the Rambam and maintains that you cannot go as far as to argue that there is an Isser Kares, this manazeh. And no doubt it begs the question that what type of mid-position is this? According to the Rambam, there's full Kedusha Samikdash, and therefore, HaNichnas Ata, there's an Isser Kares. One could argue Kedusha Samikdash is in force, is not in force, but what is somehow that mid-view that one is not allowed to enter, but if you do so, there is no Isser Kares? How do you explain that possibility? And there, surprisingly, the Ravid says very little to explain this view. One cannot go, but there is no Isser Kares. One does not argue as far as the Rambam Shita. Perhaps one could understand this split in the following sense. When it comes, for example, to Kedushas HaMikdash, it could very well be that there are two different levels and two different types of Kedusha. The Gemara in Zvachim and Achof Daled raises a very technical issue. Let's assume, for example, that Nekra Ha'evin, that one of the stones, the foundations of the Azara, was uprooted. And a Kohen is standing in that place where the tile of the Azara is lifted. Is he considered to be standing in the Azara, or is he not? The Gemara says, what exactly is the question? Kiki Deish Dovin. When Dol HaMelech was Mekadesh Azara, was it Ritzpe El Yona Kadesh? Was it only the upper surface? Or was it Ad Tahoma Da'ara Kadesh? Or was it to the depths that you have of the ground itself? And therefore, if the surface level is uprooted, is that considered to be included in the Kedushas HaAzara? A fascinating, detailed question, but let me begin with a simple question, and that is, Ki Kidesh David? When David HaMelech was Mekadesh the Azara, was it just the upper layer, or was it even the depths of the soil? Was David HaMelech Mekadesh the Azara? When you look in the Rambam in Hilchos Beis HaBechira, the Rambam writes that it was Shlomo HaMelech who built the Beis HaMikdash, and he was Mekadesh, the Makom HaMikdash. And this is not surprising. In Malachim Aleph and Perechez, that's what the Pasuk tells us, that Bayamahu Kiddush HaMelech HaSachatza, that Shlomo HaMelech was the one who was Mekadesh the area of the Mikdash. So no doubt, somewhat surprising, that the Gemara refers to the Kiddush of David when we know it was Shlomo HaMelech who built the Beis HaMikdash. And apparently one has to answer as follows. That's not a contradiction at all. There must be different gradations, different levels of Kedusha. Part of the Kedusha which was infused by David HaMelech, and part as a result of the Binyan HaMikdash of Shlomo HaMelech. And therefore, one could speak about the Kiddush of David as well as the Kiddush of Shlomo HaMelech as well. It's not necessarily a contradiction at all to assume that David did and Shlomo HaMelech supplemented that element of Kedusha. But what exactly does that mean? You see that there are different levels of Kedusha. On the one hand, we have the Kedusha of the physical presence of the Beis HaMikdash itself, the Kedushas HaMikdash. And that was constructed, erected by Shlomo Melech. That certainly is true. But yet the Gemara speaks about a Kedusha of David HaMelech. Even without building the Beis HaMikdash, there was a certain sense of a Kedushas Makom. Zos Munuchasi Adayad. One was not allowed to offer Kabanos or build the Beis HaMikdash anywhere else other than the area that David HaMelech was indeed Mekadesh. The Kedushas HaMakom, the demarcation of that place and its Kedusha, the Kedushas Machne, that is something that was infused, instilled by David HaMelech, even though the Beis HaMikdash was built by Shlomo HaMelech. And therefore one could speak about two different Kedushas, a Kedushas Machane and a Kedushas HaMikdash. And therefore the Gemara wants to know as follows: the Kedushas HaMakom of the Machane Shechina, Machane Leviyah, Machane Yisrael, the Kedushas HaMakom that was predicated on the foundation of David HaMelech when David HaMelech was Mekadesh, was it the surface level or was it to be Ad Tahoma Da'ara? There was a level of Kedusha that David HaMelech established as well. And perhaps this can be used to understand exactly that point of the Raivan. We can argue and we can debate whether there is a full Kedushas HaMikdash without a standing Beis HaMikdash. Do we argue as far as the Rambam that the Mikdash is Kishel Asadavo, or do we argue that no, you don't have a Kedushas HaMikdash without a Beis HaMikdash? Would the Raivan argue, therefore, the area of the Makom HaMikdash is not invested with any Kedusha at all? That the Raivan would argue, certainly not. Just because we don't have a Beis HaMikdash does not mean that one could offer a Karban anywhere else. Even if you assume the Kedushas HaMikdash is only Kitchel HaShatavo, Kitchel HaSavavo, nonetheless, Zos Menuchasi Adayad, this is the area which is invested in the Kedushas HaMachane. And therefore the Raivad would maintain, I don't go as far as the Rambam, to argue that there is a full Kedushas HaMikdash, but a Kedushas HaMachane there certainly is. And how does that help us? In terms of one who is Tamei should not enter, but nonetheless there isn't necessarily an Issur Kares. What did the Psukim to tell us that one who is Tamei is not to enter Beis HaMikdash? You know that there are two different Psukim, two different Parshios, Parshas Chukas, Parshas Nasa, and the emphasis of the Psukim are quite different. When it comes, for example, to Parshas Chukas, the Torah tells us the following: one who is Tamei is not allowed to enter the Mikdash, and if one does so, there is in Issur Kares. After all, why is there an Issur Kares? The Pasuk tells us the following: Ki es Mikdash Hashem Timei. One who is Tamei, who is Mitamei the Makom HaMikdash, for that V'nichras HaNefesh Ahi, there is an Issur of Kares. That's in the Midbar Perek Yates, in Parshas Chukas. When you look earlier, in Parshas Nasa, the Midbar Perek Hei, the Torah also tells us that one who is Tamei is not allowed to enter the Makom HaMikdash. There's no mention of any Issur Kares in that pasuk. And interestingly, there the Torah tells us, "V'lo yitamu es machanehem." You cannot be metame the machne hashchina. You cannot be metame the machne. V'lo yitamu es machanehem is an Issur Lav without Kares. Kares is es mikdash Hashem timei. That apparently is the view of the Raivad. I agree that there is a Kedushas Makom. There's a Machne. That is the Machne Shechina, the Machne Leviyah, the Machne Yisrael. That the Raivad writes, I will admit, that is fully enforced even today as well. I will not go as far as to say it's Mikdash Hashem Timei. Where is there a Mikdash Hashem without physically having a Beis HaMikdash? So that's very precise. That phrase of the Raivad, Anichnas Ata Ein Bo Kares. There's no Yisr Kares this man is there. Because it's Mikdash Hashem Timei that you lack. Lo Yitamu Es Machanehem. There is a sense of a Kedushas Machane. It's a fascinating possibility to explain the Raivid's position that perhaps is also you don't enter Harabayis Guzman Hazeh, even if you fall short of the Rambam that writes the Issur Kares. Interesting, Magen Avraham writes in Hilchos Tisha B'Av, in Tavkuf Samach Aleph, we paskin is the Rambam Shita, that there is a full Kedushas HaMikdash, even Guzman Hazeh as well. You know, another difference might be the following. Let's assume you have a Kohen who is Tahar. a Kohen Tahor is allowed to enter the Machne Yisrael, Machne Leviyah, Machne Shechina, but of course, as you know, a Kohen who is Tahor is not allowed to enter the Kodesh HaKadoshim. The Midrash tells us that Aaron HaKohen was allowed to enter the Kodesh HaKadoshim. That was a Horosha. That was true right in the Midbar, that Aaron was allowed to enter the Kodesh HaKadoshim. But a Kohen Gadol can only enter the Kodesh HaKadoshim on Yom HaKippurim. You know, it's fascinating. When you look in Parshas Achrimos, if I were to ask you, what is the theme of Achrimos? Avodas Yom HaKippurim. No, that's what we lay in on Yom Kippur. You know what's very surprising? You read through all of Parshas Achrimos, the Torah doesn't mention anything at all about Yom Kippur. You get to pretty close to the very end of the entire Parsha, Chamishi, all of a sudden the Torah tells us, almost parenthetically, oh, by the way, this is what you should do on Yom Kippur. It's somewhat surprising. Isn't that what the Torah has been speaking about all along? That this is in fact what should be done. Even furthermore, the pasuk says, "Va'al yavo b'chol eis el hakodesh." Right? Don't come every day. Don't come too often. Rashi writes that Aaron HaKohen was told, "You know what? This is a schus. Don't always come and frequent the Kodesh HaKadosh." Isn't it obvious? You're only allowed to enter the Kodesh HaKadoshim on Yom HaKippurim. Perhaps what's even more difficult is the following. You know, Rashi makes an incredible comment that you look in Parshas Achrimos. The Torah describes the Hotzos, Kapo Machza, taking the spoon and the ladle outside the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Rashi writes, you should realize, Parsha Zuz Shelo Bimkoma. Things aren't really written in order. This really doesn't belong here. Really, this is not when the Hotzos, Kapo Machza takes place. No, it's somewhat striking. No, the Torah delineates all of the Avoda, and Rashi writes, but realize things are really written out of order. This, in fact, doesn't belong. So those difficulties. No, there's no mention of Avodas Yom HaKippurim. The Torah admonishes Aaron, don't come each and every day. Ayva b'choleis al hakodesh. The Hotzos kapamachta is written out of sequence. Why is all this true? So in the back of the Sefer Chochmas Adam, he quotes the name of the Vilna Gaon. The answer is very simply the following. Aaron HaKohen was allowed to enter the Kodesh HaKadoshim at will. At will. L'doros, a Kohen Gadol can only enter on Yom Kippur. But Aaron was allowed to enter any time that he desired, with one caveat, and that was Bizos Yavo Aaron HaKodesh. He had to perform this avoda. This is the formula to enter the Kodesh HaKadoshim. And that is the theme of Parshas Achrimos. How is it that you, Aaron, are allowed to go in and to enter the Kodesh HaKadoshim? And the entire beginning of Achrimos is addressing that theme, the ability of Aaron HaKohen to enter the Kodesh HaKadoshim. And then, yes, the Torah tells us at the end of the Parsha, and you know what? This is true as a mitzvah lidoros for the Kohen Gadol as well. But the main theme of the Parsha, the here and now, is how Aaron is allowed to enter. And that's exactly why the Torah doesn't mention Yom Kippur at that point. That's exactly why the Torah admonishes that Va'al Yavo B'Choleis al HaKodesh, Aaron, you're allowed to enter at will, but don't do so each and every day. It's a fascinating comment. Now, the most lofty expression of Avoda, entering the Kodesh HaKadoshim, can become routine, can become mundane. Now, and therefore, the Torah tells us, Aaron HaKohen, be careful. No, don't lose the special character of entering the Kodesh HaKadoshim. And what about the Parsha then being out of order? Of course it's in order. The order is exact when it comes to the avoda that Aaron HaKohen had to do to enter the Kodesh HaKadoshim. That's absolutely precise. That's of course is exact. When the Torah writes in the end of the Parsha that this is what you should do on Yom Kippur as well, well, now you have to fuse. You have to fuse these karbanos with the karbanos of Yom Kippur as well. And here it's true that the Hotzos Kapanachta will take place at a different time. Not that the Parsha is inappropriately out of order. That is exactly the appropriate sequence. Aaron HaKohen was allowed to enter the Kodesh HaKadoshim at will. L'doros, that was never true. Even a Kohen Gadol who is Tahor, can only enter the Kodesh HaKadoshim and Yom HaKippurim with the necessary Avoda. So I ask you the following question. A Kohen who is Tahor Bizman Hazeh, who enters the area of the Kodesh HaKadoshim, does he violate that Isser? That Isser of Isser B'Yishamayim by doing so? In other words, do you have a Kedushas Kodesh HaKadoshim Bizman Hazeh?
that Rishon Tirai should depend on this machlokes between the Rambam and the Ravi. According to the Ravi, you certainly don't. You don't have a mikdash. Without the mikdash, you don't have a kodesh. You don't have a kodesh hakodashim. All you have is a kedushas machane. The lo yitamo es machaneim. Machane means you have a machane shchina, but you don't have a kodesh hakodashim. According to the Rambam, that's not true. We have a full kedushas hamikdash v'zman hazeh as though the Beis Hamikdash is built, not just a kedushas machane. We have a full kedushas hamikdash, not only a machane shchina. We have a kodesh hakodashim, and therefore even v'zman hazeh kohen tor who enters the makam hamikdash, that is considered to be an iser as well. So fascinating machlokes, the Rambam and Ravid, whether there is a kedushas Kodshei Kodshim Bizman Hazeh. You know, very often you go to a siyum on the Sechez Matos, no? So the very end, I got it. I know that the Gedolei Hatanoim were standing in the area near the Makom HaMikdash, right? And all of a sudden they saw the area, the Kodesh HaKadoshim, the place where the Torah tells us, V'Hazar HaKarev, you must, and all of a sudden the Pasuk Nechem Terakei Shualim Tulchuvo. Now the Tanoim began crying, is, you know, V'Hoya Rabbi Akiva, Netzachek, Rabbi Akiva saw this as he sculpted the Geula. Now, that's a fascinating, like, the view of Rabbi Akiva. And that which we perceive as being a tragedy, Rabbi Akiva is able, Vahoy Rabbi Akiva, Netzachek, Yerushalmi writes that that was also the response of Rabbi Akiva when he was put to death. Rabbi Akiva is one of the Asaru Gemalchus. What was the response to that Kiddush Hashem when he was, his skin was flayed, as the Gemara describes? Yerushalmi writes, "Bahayi Rabbi Akiva Mitzachek." The same response that you find in terms of how he witnessed elements of Churban Habayis. It's not that Rabbi Akiva was the optimist and Rabbi Akiva was always laughing. The Gemara says sometimes Rabbi Akiva would cry. No, last Shabbos is Kriya Satora. The Torah discusses a parsha of Haforas Nadarim. A woman makes a neder and she violated the neder. So the pasuk says, "Hashem yislach lo." The Kadosh Baruch Hu will grant her mechila. Why? Because really the neder was no longer binding. Because when the husband heard the neder, he was mefer the neder. But nonetheless, kapara is still required because from her perspective, she was doing something that was wrong. Even though technically speaking, it was mutter, there was no neder at all, but for her mindset, it was something that was wrong, and therefore Hashem Yisbacha. That's what the Gemara says. When Rabbi Akiva came to that pasuk, Hashem Yisbacha, so all of a sudden, Vahai Rabbi Akiva Bocher, no? Then all of a sudden he cried. It's a fascinating insight into Rabbi Akiva. We don't cry at that pasuk. We don't laugh at the Churban Habayis, but the penetrating insight of Rabbi Akiva, right, that element of Yiras HaChet, right, that invoked the most serious mindset of Rabbi Akiva, and tragedy, whether it's personal tragedy or global suffering, there Rabbi Akiva is always able to see Schalta de Gula. And that's how the Gemara describes that now that Makom Shenemar Bahazar HaKarev Yumas, and all of a sudden now Shulim Hilchuva. So how do you understand that Gemara? Just simply, when the Gemara says the following, a place where if a Tzar were to go, Yumas, there's a Chivnis Bere Shamayim. Is that true today? Or is the Gemara saying, it's a Churban Habayit, when you have a Beis Hamikdash, then Hazar HaKarev Yumas. What does the Gemara mean to say a place where even now, if one would inappropriately go in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, Hazar HaKarev Yumas? Now, when you read that line of the Gemara, Makom Shenema Hazar HaKarev Yumas, does that mean a place where if someone were to frequent now, it would be Chayav Misa? Or does it mean someone where when you have a Beis Hamikdash, you could not do so? That apparently is Machlokes. The Rambam and Ravid, simply how you understand. That Agadat, according to the Rambam, even now, there's a full Kedushas HaMikdash. And the Ravid maintains that no, a Kedushas Machane, yes, that certainly is true. But a Kedushas Mikdash, that requires a Binyan Beis HaMikdash. Without that, you don't have the Isser of V'Hazar HaKarav Yumas, meaning in the Kodesh HaKadoshim itself. A Kedushas Machane, yes, but you don't have the full Kedushas HaMikdash. As mentioned, the Magen Avraham writes in Hilchos Tisha B'Av, that we paskin as the Rambam Shita, that there's a full Kedushas HaMikdash. Even Bizman Hazeh, as the Rambam writes, Kedushas HaMikdash, that is something which is Machmas HaShchina, and V'HaShchina Eino B'Teima. When it comes to Mikdash,
there are certain elements that even the Rambam would agree are only fully in force when you have a Beis HaMikdash. And this is what the Rambam writes in Sefer Mitzvos and Mitzvah Chof Dalet Parachas Etochos Beis HaBechira, a mitzvah of Shmiras HaMikdash. Shmiras HaMikdash. When you have a Beis HaMikdash, the Torah charges us that one is obligated to watch and to preserve the Kedushas HaMikdash. After all, the Torah tells us in Parshas Korach, the Torah writes in Bemidbar Yerches, that Ushmartin es Nishmeres O Hamalei, that you have to preserve the Kedushas HaMitzvah, a mitzvah of Shmiras HaMikdash. If I were to ask you, what is its purpose? What is the essence of this mitzvah of Shmiras HaMikdash? So you would tell me very simply, you know, it says so in the Pasuk. After all, Ushmartin es Nishmeres O Hamalei. And the Pasuk concludes, Vizar lo yikrav aleichem. No, you have to make sure that no one inappropriately is going to enter the Makam HaMikdash. The impression that you get from the Pasuk in Parshas Korach is, what is driving Shmiras HaMikdash? Very simply, the Torah tells us that there are certain people that are allowed to enter, and certain people who cannot enter, and therefore it's necessary to go ahead and to see to it. You're supposed to guard at the door in order to see to it that only one appropriately can enter the Beis HaMikdash. What's somewhat surprising is when you look at the Rambam, it seems that what is driving the mitzvah of Shmiras HaMikdash is something which is quite different. The Rambam writes in Peraches, Avochos Beis HaBechira, that the purpose of Shmiras HaMikdash is not because of pachad oyev, and not because of pachad listim. It's not because we're afraid that someone will inappropriately infiltrate the Makam HaMikdash. But yet the Rambam writes, Eino dome, palturin sheyeshol av shomrim, the palturin sheyeshol av shomrim. How can you compare the splendor, the beauty of a guarded palace with the splendor and the beauty of a palace that is left unguarded? And the Rambam writes in Sefer Mitzvos, the Mitzvah Chav Dalet, what is the purpose of Shmiras HaMikdash? The Rambam writes, Legadlo, Lechavdo, Ularomamo. What is the purpose of Shmiras HaMikdash? To honor, right, to exalt the majesty of the Makam HaMikdash. It's a beautiful concept. But you know, it almost seems at odds with the Pasuk. The Torah tells us, God the Makam HaMikdash, because, after all, you know, you have to make sure that no one inappropriately can enter. And the Rambam writes, the purpose, don't worry at all about entry. The purpose is that legado lechavdo ularomo. You know, you witness a certain sight and you see how much care is given to that sight, right? It sends a certain type of message. Now, lechavdo, one visits Buckingham Palace. Now, so you see that this in their eyes is a very special, special place. Now, this is not just typical guards. Now, you see a changing of the guard, you realize that this is a revered area. Now, the Torah tells us, the Rambam writes, that's the essence of Shmiras HaMikdash, Legadlo, Lechavdo, Ularomamo. But yet, it seems somewhat difficult that that's not what the Pasuk seems to indicate. The Pasuk tells us very simply, Vizar lo yikrav aleichem. The answer seems to be as follows. When you look in the very beginning of Maseches Tamid, the Mishnah describes Shmiras HaMikdash. Number one is Shmiras HaMikdash was vast, right? There were so many different positions, 3 positions, and then 21 positions of Kohanim and Levim who would participate in Shmiras HaMikdash. You know, if the purpose was simply to make sure that no one enters inappropriately, so just place a guard at the door, but that's not Shmiras HaMikdash. Shmiras HaMikdash was an area that enveloped all areas surrounding the actual Mikdash itself. And it's fascinating, when the Mishnah describes Shmiras HaMikdash, it does so describing that people would hold torches in order to go ahead and to be able to see and almost like patrol. You get the impression that the mitzvah of Shmiras HaMikdash is balayla, is at night. And that's what the Rambam writes. In Perechetz HaBeis HaBechira, the Rambam writes that Shmiras HaMikdash mitzvasa balayla. Mitzvasa balayla. It seems unusual, no? Mitzvasa balayla. Even at night. That's not what the Rambam writes. The Rambam writes that the mitzvah of Shmiras HaMikdash applies, right, during the night. The Rambam doesn't mention anything about Shmiras HaMikdash during the day. In fact, the Michasino questions, is it really true that Shmiras HaMikdash only applies by Laila and doesn't apply during the day itself. That opening sugya in Tamid, the Gemara mentions the mitzvah of Shmiras HaMikdash, and the Gemara says the following, an unusual kasha, Minahani Mimi. How do you know that that's true? How do you know that there's a mitzvah of Shmiras HaMikdash? Seems that, how do you know that it's true? It's a parsha in Chumash, a parsha Korach, that B'shamro es Mishmeres, Omoed. It's a surprising question. And what's also surprising is the answer. The Gemara does not answer the pasuk of B'shamro es Mishmeres, Omoed. The question is unusual. The teretz is unusual. The Gemara calls the pasuk that B'achonim, right in the beginning of Chumash B'midbar. The Gon is very bothered. There in the very beginning of Maseches Tamid, why is the Gemara troubled? What is the nature of the mitzvah? Well, of course there is a mitzvah. What is its source? Parshas Korach. The Gaon writes, the answer is as follows. Of course Parshas Korach, there is a mitzvah of Shmiras HaMikdash, because the Mishkan was not walled. The Mishkan was not built as a fortress. The Mishkan was built with Yerios and a Pesach. It didn't have, right, a door that was closed at all. And therefore, if that's true, well, of course you understand that in the Mishkan, it was necessary to have someone kind of guard, because relatively speaking, the Mishkan was an open area. Well, of course they had Urios, and they had Krushim, but it was open, and that required that someone had to be there, Bahazalo Yikrav Aleichem. The Kasha the Gon points out is as follows. How do you know that this is a mitzvah ledoros? How do you know ledoros when you have a Beis HaMikdash which is secured and which is walled? How do you know that the same pragmatic mitzvah of Shmiras HaMikdash would in fact apply? In other words, the Gon writes, Parshas Korach is addressing Shmiras HaMishkan. Mishkan. How do you know that there's a mitzvah ledoros of Shmiras HaMikdash? Because after all, there, everything is guarded and everything is walled and everything in fact is sealed. And that's the chiddush of the Mishnah in Talmud, that no, there's a mitzvah of Shmiras HaMikdash, which is ledoros. Maybe that was exactly the point of the Rambam. A mitzvah of Shmiras HaMishkan, that I certainly understand. You have to have somebody safeguarding the Mishkan. But if there's a mitzvah ledoros of Shmiras HaMikdash, the Mikdash is a walled, secured fortress. Why is there such a mitzvah of Shmiras HaMikdash? And that's what the Rambam writes. The mitzvah ledoros of Shmiras HaMikdash, Eino Dome. The purpose of the mitzvah of Shmiras HaMikdash, that's l'gadlo l'chavdo l'romo. That's not for physical protection, but that's in order to demonstrate the reverence that we have for the Makom HaMikdash itself. The Rambam apparently understood that there was some shift. In the Mishkan, part of the mitzvah of Shmira was more pragmatic. As a mitzvah l'doros, no, that was Kavod Habayis. That's the chiddush that the Rambam writes. The Rush writes in the beginning of Maseches Tamid the following chiddush. The purpose of Shmiras HaMikdash is to ensure that there's no Hesech Hadas. Hesech Hadas. That's the chiddush that the Rush writes. In other words, we're always obligated to be mindful of the significance, the primacy of the Mikdash. And therefore, Kavod HaMikdash, Kavod HaBayis, that is what is driving, right, the mitzvah of Shmiras HaMikdash. Because if something is not washed, if something is like abandoned, therefore there's a certain detachment, there's a certain Hesech Hadas. In order to ensure that that is not true, that is why there's a mitzvah of Shmiras HaMikdash. In fact, if one would argue, as the Rush writes, that what is motivating this mitzvah of Shmiras HaMikdash is that there shouldn't be any element of Hesech Hadas, there shouldn't be a lapse of awareness in our mind, perhaps then you understand very well why the mitzvah of Shmiras HaMikdash, the way the Rambam describes, is specifically at night. The Rambam writes that Shmiras HaMikdash mitzvasa balayla. Why is that true? Because after all, during the day is when you have a functioning Beis HaMikdash. During the day you have Hakravas HaKarbanos, during the day you have Avoda, during the day everyone is frequenting the Beis HaMikdash, during the day there is no Pesach Hadas. At night, when there is no formal avoda and the doors of the mikdash are sealed, how is it that you ensure that there is still that connectedness, that there isn't a Pesach Hadas? That apparently is the chiddush. At night, there is a mitzvah of Shmiras HaMikdash. That apparently is part of the Chiddush of the Rambam. Not because of Pachad Oyev, not because of Pachad Listim, but rather to demonstrate the reverence, the primacy of the Makam HaMikdash. The Mishnah tells us from the beginning of time, it's something quite unusual. V'harovim shomrim sham. The rovim would participate. They would watch the Mikdash. Rovim literally means youngsters. The youngsters, the children, would go ahead and participate. They were the ones who would watch. In fact, the Mishnah was very bothered. In Elchos Beis Avachim, in Peraches, can a child perform the mitzvah of Shmiras HaMikdash? Don't you require a bar chiyuva for the purpose of Shmiras HaMikdash? The Mishnah writes something which is somewhat difficult. Harovim means the teenagers. They have to be bar mitzvah, but it means above and beyond. But if you look in the Rishonim, in that Mishnah, the beginning of Tamid, Harovim means, literally, it means the young children. The young children were the ones who would participate in Shmiras HaMikdash. You know, if Shmiras HaMikdash was the Zalo Yikra Halechem, if Shmiras HaMikdash was to make sure that no enemy infiltrates, if it was because of Ayuvim or Listin or Rachman Letzam, we wouldn't envision that the front line is little children guarding the Makam HaMikdash. The purpose of Shmiras HaMikdash is Magadba Lacham L'Romamo, and that is the lesson the Torah is telling us to enforce in order to have a full sense of Shmiras HaMikdash and to instill that even in young children the reverence that there shouldn't be Hesach Hadas in terms of that element of Mikdash itself. You know, both aspects of Shmira certainly are true. On the one sense, Shmira is a sense of a Sur Meira, to make sure that no force infiltrates. That's part of Shmira. But Shmira also is Vagadba Lechab Del Romo, to see to it that one would revere the Makom HaMikdash itself. And that, no doubt, is the mitzvah of Shmira HaMikdash. It applies at night, and therefore it is with that desired goal, that desired end, l'chavdo l'gadlo u'l'romamo. You know, we've discussed in different contexts that the mitzvah HaTorah, mitzvah saseh, mitzvah lo saseh, can be broken down into two very different categories. Sometimes the Torah stresses the act, the maisa hamitzvah, and sometimes the Torah stresses the totzah, the poyotze, the chalos, the result, the consequence of the mitzvah itself. Certain mitzvahs, you'll tell me, the act is considered to be critical. In other instances, you'll tell me, no, it's a tool, but really, the consequence, the result, is considered to be that which is primary. And you know, there are many, many differences between category A and category B of mitzvah Hashem. We once discussed the mitzvah of Achilas Kodshim, and the mitzvah of Achilas Korban Pesach. The mitzvah of Achilas Korban Pesach is a mitzvah sachila that everyone must eat. The mitzvah of Achilas Kodshim is Shahak Kodshim Yachlu, that the Kodshim are indeed consumed. And the Beis Halevi points out it's not necessary, for example, that any individual has to eat a kazayis, even if all the Kohanim share it, right? And the Kodshim are consumed. That is considered to be sufficient. Bris Mila is a fascinating example, where of course there's a Maisa HaMitzvah, but if I were to ask you, isn't Bris Mila an example where it's Ikro B'Totzah? Isn't the result of Mila that there's an Os Bris Kodesh, no longer Ipsulav Orel? Isn't that something which is critical? When it comes to Hafrashas and Trumas and Maisras example, of course there's a Maisa Hafrasha, but isn't the Totzah, isn't that considered to be that which is critical? The fact that after one is Mafrish, now you have Chulin Mesukanim, and now you have Truma, now you have Maiser, that certainly is not considered to be incidental. Right? When we discussed, for example, Shlichus, when does Shlichus work in Mitzvos? When do you assume you can discharge your obligation through another? When do you assume that that is not true? You have to perform the mitzvah yourself. So Marachor Zeror writes that this is the key. This is the key. If what the Torah stresses is the act, you must do that individually. If the Torah says the act of sitting in circle, putting on tefillin, how could you think that, you know, I'll appoint someone else to do that on my behalf? What are the sources of shlichus? Well, the Torah mentions shlichus when it comes to afreshes shumas and maestros. Kein tarimu gam atem, the rabo shluchachem. That means I can imafresh ayide shliach. The Torah mentions shlichus when it comes to gittin in kedushin, v'shivach v'shilcha. You know what those cases have in common? Gittin, kedushin, afreshes shumas and maestros. All of them, of course, there's a requisite act that's necessary, but all of them are ikro v'chalos. They all are an act, but the purpose of the act is to attain a certain status, and that can be attained even if the act is done through others. Now, it's always important to know whether it's true. And perhaps another difference is as follows, and that is bar chiyuva. When do you require a bar chiyuva in a mitzvah? One thing is clear. If we're talking about an act, so therefore, if a person has been discharged the obligation on my behalf, the shomea ka'ona, you're going to read the Megillah for me, you're going to be tokei the shofar for me, of course you require a bar chiyuva. Sometimes a bar chiyuva is not required. Not required. When it comes to bris milah, it would appear from the Gemara of Avodah Zarah Daf Chav Zayin that you don't necessarily need a bar chiyuva for bris milah. The Gemara raises the following question: can a goy be a milah? The Gemara says no. A guy cannot go ahead and do so. Why not? The Gemara calls psukim. Either because of hamol yimol, only one who has a bris can perform a bris, or because brisitishmor, only one who is included in the covenant in the bris of milah can perform a bris. The Gemara has 2 days whether a woman can serve as a mo'el, 2 days in Tosus whether a woman can be a mo'el. Why doesn't the Gemara just simply assume that if you're not obligated in a mitzvah, kol mishin mechui b'davar, that's it? How can you perform a mitzvah? The answer is perhaps you only require a bar chiyuva in terms of a formal maisa mitzvah, but not necessarily a mitzvah which is ikra b'chalos. Now the Ksos points out that technically speaking, a katan can be a mo'el. Katan can be a mo'el. The only issue is what is the father's obligation in bris milah? If the father's obligation in bris milah is to perform the act of bris milah, and how is that done through a mo'el? Well, ask any good mo'el, he'll tell you, do you appoint me as a shliach to perform the milah of your son? Questionable if that's necessary. But if you do need shlichus, the problem with the katan being a mo'el is the katan cannot serve as a shliach of the father, but the milah certainly is a milah k'sheira. Right, the katan performs bris milah. We can debate whether the mitzvah will relate back and register for the father, whether you need shlichus or not, but the milah certainly is a milah k'sher. What about the obligation of bar chiyuva? The Gemara is when it comes to mitzvah of achilas kodshim. A katan can partake in achilas kodshim. A katan can partake of achilas truma. And here a katan can participate in shmiras hamikdash as well. That whole host of mitzvos where it's ikro b'chalos, it's not the act, but rather it is the consequence, the totsah, right? In the case of shmiras hamikdash, seeing to it again that we revere the kedushas hamikdash, that is something that does not necessarily require a bar chiyuva at all. Any kohen, any lady could participate, even the vaharomim, shomim sham, even if you have youngsters that would participate as well. That's what the Gaon points out, seemingly was somewhat different regarding shmiras hamishkan and shmiras hamikdash. Shmiras hamishkan, the pasuk says, v'zar v'yikav aleichem. But the purpose of the mitzvah of shmiras hamikdash l'doros, that is a function of kavod hamikdash. That is v'gadol l'chavdo u'l'ramamo. So as mentioned, we assume as the Rambam Shita that even without the physical structure of the Beis Hamikdash, but nonetheless the kedusha still is considered to be fully intact. The Ravid maintains we don't have a kedusha Hamikdash b'zman hazeh. Tragically, the Ravid writes, because of the failure of Knesset Yisrael to respond in the time of Ezra. But even according to the Ravid, it doesn't mean that the Makam Hamikdash somehow is value neutral. No, v'lo yitamu es machanehem. A kedushas machane, that certainly it has. Machane Shechina, machane Avia, machane Yisrael, even if it doesn't have a full kedushas hamikdash as well. But as mentioned, Magen Avraham writes, we paskin as the Rambam Shita, that we're zocha to a dual kedusha b'zman hazeh, a full kedushas haaretz and a full kedushas hamikdash. Right? The Rambam writes, what is lacking, no doubt, a mitzvah satliyas varas, but the Rambam writes the conditions are there, right? However, we have to fulfill the chasuk of Yovel of Kol Yoshevei to ensure that we as Knesset Yisrael are able to appreciate and to exercise, right, the necessary effort to see to it that we have mitzvah satliyas varas.
Zer Yerkes.